Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
For the most part, we're a bunch of quitters. We don't hold on to things. We don't do things consistently for very much. There was a 2012 study that said 80% of gym members that join in January quit within 5 months. Yeah. 5 months. 4% of New Year's resolutioners quit by the end of January. 14% quit by the end of February. 18% of gym members use their membership consistently. Only 18%. If that doesn't convince you, how many of you have ever started a diet on Monday? And if you made it to Friday, you have accomplished something. Right? So we're pretty much kind of quitters. So I want to make sure that we understand the importance, and I know we do, but I kind of want to drive it home, the importance of not being a quitter in your faith. So I want to look at this first picture I have up here. Does anybody know what that is?
Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun, yes. That is that was discovered by a gentleman named Howard Carter, who searched 15 years... before he found this. 15 years, from 1907 to 1922, he was looking for some Egyptian burial sites, and he finally found this because of his persistence. And this is one of the biggest intact finds of a pharaoh's tomb that was ever found. It's very popular, worth a lot of money. Brian and I saw parts of it in Dallas at one time when it came to the Dallas Museum. It's really worth seeing if you ever get the chance, but it's just amazing about how old that is, and to think that somebody, I wouldn't have searched 15 years for that, no matter how much money it's worth, I wouldn't have, but he did. And then, what's that a symbol of?
The International Olympic Organizing Committee.
The Olympics, that's what we see when we look at the Olympics. A 2008 article in Forbes says that it's common for Olympic athletes to spend, that's not it, Keep it on the other one. You're ahead of me. To spend 4 to 8 years training in a sport. 4 to 8 years before they make an Olympic team. That's a lot of time. U.S. gymnast Simone Biles previously said that she trained 32 hours a week with one day off. That's gymnastics. And then we have Michael Phelps, who is the swimmer, who practices every single day in the pool for 3 to 6 hours, and then he does separate exercises on dry land for four to five times a week, too. That is persistence right there. That's persistence. Now, I've read several researches about prayer, and the Barna Research Study of 2016 said that 64% of Christians, now this is Christians, say that they pray more than once a day. They should. 56% say they most often pray for family members. Only 3.3% say they pray for strangers. Now, strangers would include your government, you know, anybody you don't have a personal relationship with. Only 3.3%. A little over 38% say that the most important purpose of prayer is intimacy with God. So as Christians, I'm surprised that that's only 38% that think that that's an important reason to be praying. Well, that's why they are praying. I know as a church, the reason we're doing the second Saturday prayer, we're trying to get out of the 3.3% there.
Yes.
We want to be a church that prays for strangers. You don't have to even introduce yourself to them. You can walk down the street and pray over houses as you go. So that's a little plug for Second Saturday Prayer that's coming up this week. At your convenience, get out and pray for your neighbors. So 3.3%, we need to bump that up, don't we? Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Luke 11:4-13, and this is after Jesus gives the disciples the Lord's Prayer. When he's asking how should they pray, he gives them the Lord's Prayer, and then he goes on and says this. Then teaching them more about prayer, he uses a story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. I just want to insert here that if you come to my house at midnight, somebody better be dead or dying. Don't come to my house for bread at midnight. I love you all, but please. So it says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up, and I want to say it like this, he will get up and chunk the bread at you. That's not what he says. He says, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who seeks receives. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. When you look back in the original Greek, that word everyone, it means everyone. Sometimes you get some different meanings, but this one's just everyone. And then going on, it says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So, ask. When I looked what this word meant in the original Greek, it means to ask, beg, call for, crave, desire, and require. Asking requires humility. Because pride says, don't ask. Don't let somebody know you have a need. Pride says, don't, you know, you've got this together. But you have to be humble to ask for something. I know that during the snowstorm, and a lot of you have heard this story, we lost electricity Sunday night at 9 p.m. And I know it was 9 p.m. because I was up when it went off. It didn't come back till the next Sunday at 2-something in the morning, yeah. So Brian and I are home. I go get, you know, electricity's off. I go to bed. Next morning we get up, electricity's still off on Monday morning. We go through all day, cold. The house is getting colder and colder. We have a fireplace, but we have just a few fire logs, and they don't put out a whole lot of heat. So we're rationing those. And Brian has to go to work Tuesday morning. So I didn't want him on those bad roads at early in the morning before it's light. So I wanted him to leave Monday night before it got dark, go to work so that he could stay there and he would be up and ready for his shift. And, you know, I just didn't. But I was trying to be brave because I really didn't want him to go. I didn't want to be in that cold, dark house all by myself. So I'm like, no, you can go. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm staying with you. And I said, no. I said, if something happened to you because I'm selfish, I would never forgive myself. You need to go to work. So he went to work. So I kept saying, I'll be okay. Well, you know what? I wasn't okay. But I wasn't going to ask. I knew my son had electricity, but I wasn't going to ask him if I could come over. Why? Because I'm the mom, and the moms take care of the kids, and the kids don't take care of the moms. In my head. So I was not going to ask him for help. But he called to check on me that night, and he said, are you okay? And I was humbled enough at that point to say no. He said, do you want to come over? I said, not tonight, because the roads are bad and it's dark, and I didn't want to get out at that point. So he said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'll stay here. So after spending probably the most horrible night of my life, being up and down and being no electricity, no nothing. He calls me at 6 o'clock the next morning. He said, Mom, do you want to come over? I said, yes. And I said, and I will not come in this house again until there is electricity. Because it just about broke me. But just mentally, I couldn't do it. But I didn't call and ask. I could have gone to his house sooner. I called hotels, trying to find a hotel to stay in. They were all full. But I wouldn't ask my son to help me because that's not what moms do. And I was just a little bit prideful that I was having to ask my child for help. It ended up being one of the sweetest times that we had over there, I will tell you that. But that pride, you can't have it and feel like you can ask for something. James 4:3 says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. Sometimes we ask with wrong motives and we need to check our motives, but sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. I have a lady at work who came to me. She was upset with her supervisor, who reports to me, because she said, I asked for help and she won't help me. She said, things get crazy at the front desk, and she's sitting back behind me, and I'll say, I need help, and she doesn't come and help me. I said, well, what exactly do you say to her? And she said, I just say out loud, I need help. I said, does she hear you? Well, she should hear me. I assume she hears me. I said, well, did you say her name and then say, I need help? Well, no. And I said, well, you know, maybe you should try saying, Liz, I need help with this patient. He is not understanding what I'm trying to tell him. Can I send him around to you and let you explain it to him? Or you could say, Liz, I'm trying to check in 3 patients at one time. Can I give one of them to you so that you can help me get this patient checked in? And she stood there and looked at me for a minute. She goes, I didn't think of that. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. We need to know what to ask for. But sometimes I think, you know, I ask for things from the Lord, and I can almost see him just shaking his head and patting me on the head with his holy hand, thinking, bless her heart. She thinks that's what she needs, but it's not. You know? Sometimes we ask for things we don't really think we need, but we don't. But thankfully, unlike us human folks, God knows what we need. So we just, but he wants that. He wants us to ask anyway. He wants that relationship. And then seek. In the original Greek, the word seek is to seek in order to find, to seek a thing, to seek in order to find out by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into, to seek after, seek for, aim at, strive after. You know, to seek is to put aside your laziness. Lazy people don't really go out of their way to seek anything. It's just not something they do. So they don't find anything either, really. We had a computer monitor at work just the other day, and this lady came to me and she said, hey, I can't find the cord to this monitor. We need to buy a new monitor. And I said, well, let me go look for a cord. We've got to have a cord somewhere. So we have a million of these cords in drawers all over the place at work, and I found a ton of these. However, it wasn't the right connector. So it wouldn't work in her case, but I was determined I was going to find a cord. So I kept looking, and I kept looking. I looked in places I wouldn't even think it would be. I just kept going, and honestly never found the cord. I found one I thought would work, and it didn't. But so they're still wanting to buy a new monitor for $100-something. And I said, you know, you can buy cords on Amazon. So I ordered one. Hopefully it's the right one. It says it is. So we'll see if that works. But, you know, you have to sometimes seek things and go out of your way to find things. And that's the same thing in prayer. We've got to seek answers. We've got to go after them. We can't just be passive and lazy all the time. We have to go after things. And then to knock. If you look in the original Greek for this word, the knock is to knock at the door. That's it. Doesn't have a bunch of meanings. It's just to knock at the door. And you know, when you knock, you get someone's attention, don't you? If you're sitting at your house and you hear this, okay, somebody's at the door, or somebody's knocking at the neighbor's door really loud or something, but it gets your attention. It's almost like a more forceful action or asking, and it expends more energy. You have to get up. You have to go somewhere. You have to knock. You've got to raise your arm and bang on the door. You know, it's just, it's not as easy as sitting there and asking. So when you knock on God's door, do you expect an answer? Yeah. I mean, usually we do, but sometimes I would challenge you, because I think sometimes we pray and we really don't expect an answer. I think there have been times probably all of us can think back that we've prayed about something and we didn't expect an answer. We thought, well, maybe you had prayed over something for so long and didn't get the answer you wanted, so it starts to kind of erode your faith. I know that when we went door-to-door as a church, you know, we went like probably 2 years, we're going to knock on every door in Lake Worth. Well, we knocked on a lot of doors. Very few doors were open to us. Because if we had a row of like 30 to 40 houses we knocked on, if we got 3 to 4 people to answer the door, we felt like we had really made progress that day, you know? Because we'd knock on doors, and we'd hear mamas shushing kids on the other side of the door because they didn't want to answer the door. You know, we would hear people, you know, all of a sudden turning the TV down, like we wouldn't notice that, you know. But we really went door to door, not expecting very many doors to be open, because after you do it time and time again and you don't get doors open, you really don't expect it. But we should know that when we come to God's door, we can expect an answer. We should come expecting. We should come when we ask. We should come expecting as well when we ask the Lord for something. I know that when I was a kid, especially if I was sick, I had my dad's sympathy if I was sick. He would come and he would say, "Baby, what do you want?" And I would say, if it was the middle of the night and I said, "I want some ice cream, Dad," he would get in his car in the middle of the night and he would try to go find some place to get me ice cream. Whatever I wanted, especially if I was sick, my dad would go get it. I was just a little spoiled. Just a little bit. You know, we've got to make sure that we ask. And I knew, I didn't go to my dad asking for ice cream thinking, oh, he's going to say, "No, wait till tomorrow." If I didn't feel good, I knew. I expected the answer would be, "Okay, you go get it." So that's, our Heavenly Father is that way. He's not going to, like, let us eat 10 tubs of ice cream, probably, because he knows what's good for us. But he wants to give us good things. He wants to bless us and give us good things. So, in conclusion, I would just say, ask with right motives. Make sure our motives are right. Seek, knowing that it may take time, and you may have to keep seeking and keep praying and keep asking. And then knock, expecting an answer. Because just like this power cord, half of it goes into the wall, which is our power source. And the other half goes into the monitor. Prayer is our power cord. Prayer keeps us hooked up to the source so that we have power that we need to make it through life. So I just want us to pray and just to ask the Lord if we are praying with right motives. I mean, just ask the Holy Spirit to kind of talk to you today and tell you where you stand in this area. So, Lord, we just come before you so thankful that you are Lord God Almighty, so thankful that you love us, that you take care of us, that you want relationship with us. And Lord, I just ask that you would just search our hearts. Are we asking things with right motives? Lord, are we seeking, knowing that it's going to take time? Are we committed to that? Are we going to be persistent? Help us to be that if we're not. Help us to be persistent in seeking you and the things of you. And Lord, let us not get tired of knocking. Let us expect answers when we knock on your door. Let us expect that you will answer, Father. And you may not give us the answer we want, but you will answer us because you love us and you will give us good things. Lord, we just ask that you bless each one of us here today, Father, and I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.